5 years of exploring new worlds, new ideas, and new people. Years of entertaining conversation, stimulating information. Join the Celebration 25 with
Bill Jenkins.
Well, welcome in to a Saturday night on KABC. It is Open Mind, we call it, for the next 3 hours, and we want to try to tantalize and stretch yours and give you something new. Kind of rumming around in your mind. And we have quite an elaborate experiment planned for you tonight. So I want you to sit back and hold on tight. We'll see if we can pull it off. If we can, you may talk about it for a couple of days. So welcome aboard. We're 8 minutes past the 9 o'clock mark here on a rainy Saturday night in Los Angeles. At the moment, I don't know what's going on in Northern California because the circuits are busy. The operator tells us to reach the laboratory of Dr. Marcel Vogel, who for 27 years was one of the leading theoretical physicists for the IBM Corporation. He is a man who has done an enormous amount of research in the interrelation between plants and animals. His plants talk to him, in fact. He's certainly one of the leading researchers into the amazing and healing properties of the crystal. And we were going to deal, and are will do, deal here a little bit later tonight, when we can get Marcel on with the crystal. If you remember the last time that Marcel was on, using the crystal from his vantage point way up in Northern California, we had people all over Southern California who were literally bending spoons, smelling roses, feeling a rush of air across their extended palm. I didn't bend a spoon, but I don't go out of body. So we have not gained contact with Dr. Vogel. He has our numbers. We have his numbers. There had been an elaborate experiment worked up from up there in the laboratory there to down here at Hidden Valley with Dr. Heidi Rose. We'll get Dr. Rose on a little bit later on. She was going to be hooked up to an EKG machine. So and that's about all I can tell you about what's in store for you. So we'll hope that the circuits be clear. It's always something here. But it's always worth sitting around and waiting on. It gives me a chance to talk to you about our psychic phenomenon tour of London that comes up very quickly, October 24th to November 1st. I think that's still on. If not, we were going to have to postpone it till next spring if we didn't get enough people to go. We need 35 or 40 people to go. Last time I talked to Chucky Travel, we're running just a little bit behind time. We got a little bit late in getting the plans all firmed up for you, but we would like for you to go. It's cost about $1,700, I think. We'll go by British Caledonia Airlines, and that's your total travel. That's your stay at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. Many of your meals will be having banquets in the great banquet halls of some of the great castles of London and environs. We're going to be lectured about all the experiences of paranormal phenomenon, human mind, about the hauntings and apparitions. We're going to go to the ghost houses and where they are. Lord Clancarty of the House of Lords will talk to us about the House of Lords investigation into the reality of the UFO. He's quite an amazing fellow. We'll go out to Stonehenge for a day and see that magnificent place, and then on over to Bath, to the Roman baths at Bath. We'll go to Buckingham Palace, Westminster Abbey, the Tower of London. And we'll end up our trip on Halloween night on board the MV Silver Barracuda for a fancy dress Halloween party. Cocktail party and a free dinner. Sailing underneath the Tower of London and the London Bridge. Both of those are haunted, you know. There are ghosts there, too, of course. And on Halloween night, I couldn't think of a more Halloweenish place to be than at a dress-up Halloween party on board the Silver Barracuda sailing up and down the Thames. So, if you can go, contact Chucky Travel first thing Monday morning at Travel Consultants of America. They're in Burbank, California. Or call me. I'll take care of it. You can call me here at the station if you want. And the number for Travel Consultants of America is 818-845-1722.
He's reduced those prices because he renegotiated a deal with British Caledonia Airlines. We'll leave October 24th, and we'll come back on the 1st, 2nd of November. Spend a fantastic week in London. And just do open-mind things while we're over there and have a lot of open-mind fun. Well, Brad is working with the operator to get through. I don't know what's going on up there, but the lines, the circuits are busy. Did it rain or something up there? All right. We'll keep trying. Meanwhile, I'm certainly ready, willing, and able to talk to you. We'll just continue our open forum that we had last week that was so very, very fascinating. And if we don't get through to Dr. Marcel Vogel here rather quickly, we will get Dr. Heidi Rose on, who is standing by. She was to be a part of the experiment that we would be doing. Long distance with crystals and mind power and all of that sort of stuff. But you can talk to us about most anything that's on your mind. 520-TALK, if you're in Los Angeles. Go ahead and call on in and talk to us. 520-TALK. Healing, which is becoming more and more the thing, and maybe exactly the way the world of healing and medicine will become. Next week, we'll have a UFO forum for you. We'll have some of the leading investigators and into this phenomenon of the UFO. We'll have some high government officials on who will talk about openly the government believing and knowing full well that they have an ongoing experience with a UFO. We'll look at some of the Freedom of Information memorandum now that have been that have coming out of the government because of the Freedom of Information Act, which clearly establishes that we know that there is the UFO. It has been a part of a military concern for quite some time. Then on October 19th, we're going to have one of the playoff games, perhaps, of the National League playoffs on a Saturday night with the Cardinals. And if that's the case, we'll have a shortened version of Open Mind. It'll only be 2 hours that night on October 19th, but we will be talking about and we'll have a number of the psychics that are members of the United Sensitives of America who did a lot of work with law enforcement officials during the Olympics. We'll discuss what they did, what they will be doing, hopefully in Korea for the Olympics there, working with law enforcement and other things. Psychics that in an honest way get together and contribute their many different skills to solving the needs of a lot of different people. October 26th and November 2nd will be rebroadcast because we will be in London. Then on November 9th, Robert Monroe will be here. Oh, Robert Monroe of the Monroe Institute of Applied Sciences. And, of course, our subject will be the out-of-body experience. And we are going to have another experiment then. I'll tell you more about the experiment a little bit later. But we will involve a number of skeptics who will come here to the studio when Robert Monroe is here with boxes in which they have placed something that only they know what's in it. During the show, out-of-body travelers would leave the laboratory in Virginia, travel out-of-body to this studio, and out-of-body go inside those boxes and find out what's in them, then go back to Virginia and go back in-body and get on the telephone with us before the night is over and detail what's in those boxes to the delight of the skeptics that will be here. I'm sure that That'll turn them on. Dr. Patrick Flanagan will join us on November 16th. And, you know, with Pat Flanagan, we'll talk about many things that are out there on the very cutting edge of science. November 23rd, Diane Morrissey of the International Association for Near-Death Studies will come to Open Mind for the first time. And it's a fascinating look at what people who are alive now have seen as they have crossed over for a few moments to the other side. December 14th, Greta Woodrow returns to Open Mind. She is the author of A Slide of Light and the co-founder of STAR, S-T-A-R, that's Space Technology and Research Foundation. Greta has an ongoing contact with an alien group who have been giving her fascinating information, and she has been going around the world lecturing captains of industry, leaders of governments, about what is in store and how to prepare for that. Greta is the one who can... Well, I've seen her myself... bend spoons. In fact, she even shrinks spoons. And this was something that was taught to her by a group, she says, were the Ogatans. December 21st, it'll be the Christmas season, and I couldn't think of a better time to brighten up your holidays than with the delightful insight of Dr. Peoples. That's right. Thomas Jacobson will return to Open Mind on December 21st, and of course we will interact with Dr. Peoples, the amazing and wonderful Dr. Peoples. Desi Arnaz Jr. and Guy Finley, who were supposed to be here last week, I didn't think they were supposed to be here last week. So they will be here January 4th. We have rescheduled them in there, talking about success without stress and the great program that they're deeply involved with, based a lot upon the metaphysical philosophies of Vernon Howard. The out-of-body group called Search and Prove from St. Paul, Minnesota, will join us on January 11th. And then Dale Walker will be here February 1st, again with the crystals. So we have quite a lineup of things to do. And we'll be getting to you in just a moment. Brad is continuing to work to get through the breakdown of the lines right now into Northern California for Dr. Marcel Vogel. I'll be back in a moment. Okay, Dave, you're on.
Yeah, Phil, this is Dave. We've been, been talking quite a few times over the past several years.
Mm-hmm.
How do you set those crystals up in a refrigerator so that they work to help you reduce the temperature of the things inside there?
Well, all I have done, and it really works, I put a crystal in there just inside the refrigerator. Now, I have a side-by-side refrigerator.
Yeah.
So I put it on the refrigerator side. And I have to turn the refrigerator to a lower thermostatic or thermostat setting, because if I put it where I ordinarily would without the crystal, it'll start freezing things inside the refrigerator.
Yeah.
The veggies will get a little too crisp, and you know what happens to the old lettuce if it gets that way.
And the milk
starts freezing, and the beer starts freezing, and that's terrible. You know, you can't have beer freezing.
Do you just set it right in there on the...
Yeah, I just stick it in the back of one of the shelves back there.
Huh?
Leave it
alone.
You
don't set it in water or anything like
no,
that?
No, it's just stuck off back there.
Okay.
By a bottle of something, probably there by the ketchup, I don't know.
Hey, could I ask you about the fire walk that you went on?
Sure.
How do you feel about that now? Is it passe, or, you know, is it still pretty impressive to you?
Well, I don't think it's passe.
I went on it, you know. So, I was wondering if...
I did it twice,
yeah.
And it felt like walking over popcorn. The coals were very, very hot. In fact, the shovel that was kind of patting them down there, you throw water on it, or squirt water on it, it turns to steam. So it was hot. I have been able to use that ability that you learn, that little anchoring process to... just change your physiology in some way or another that we don't completely understand on a couple of occasions that kept me from getting burned.
Uh-huh.
I have not deliberately walked over fire again simply because my schedule wouldn't allow it, but I certainly make every effort to every time Tony is in town. I think it's something exciting to do, and you can do, and the skeptics that say anybody can do it and there's nothing to it, that's baloney.
Well, I think you're probably aware that the Skeptic Society of Southern California has put the kibosh on it, said that anybody could do it.
Well, they can put the kibosh on anything they want to, but that doesn't mean anything because, in my opinion, they don't know what they're talking about.
Uh-huh.
I had them on about it, and I said, what about, you know, the Fijian firewalkers? Said, oh, well, they were using the little pumice stone that floats in the water around Fiji. Well, I was over there, and I looked at the rocks. They had never been there. They had never looked at the rocks, and they weren't pumice stone. They were solid, hard rocks, and they were extremely hot. So they're just having a difficulty in understanding how it happens. But the skeptics do not have the ability or the intelligence to put the kibosh on anything.
Well, I'm really glad to hear you say that, Bill. I walked on the rocks probably just about right after you did, and it was the most impressive thing that I've ever done in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hear, you know, other people saying, well, you can do it. And
you know, some people get burned doing that, so it's
yeah.
Not something that you need to really prepare yourself for. If you went through the neuro-linguistic programming that we had there, then that's you know how it works.
Yeah, I do, and then again, I'd like to... in my conversation with you, that's saying that don't anybody out there try walking on fire.
No, you have to know what you're doing. And
right.
Tony Robbins is the one who taught us how to do it, and he does it very, very well.
Yeah, okay. Well, good night, Bill, and have many more years on the air.
Okay. Thank you very much, David. I appreciate that. We do have Dr. Marcel Vogel on the line. We found him, and so we will continue on. We'll be back with Dr. Vogel. In just a moment. I saw a man give another man $2 million right here in the studio. Possibly. Well, he gave him a lottery ticket. And he's over there busy scratching away. All right. Dr. Marcel Vogel, welcome to Open Minds.
Hello, you rascal, you.
Oh, did we have a wrong area code? Was that our problem?
Yes, you did. You were calling 405.
All right.
And I was projecting to you, I said, where are you, you rascal?
Well, we finally got through. I knew we would. We have a lot of things to do tonight. You were going to surprise us with something, and I understand you have one of my friends there with you.
Yes, I have. A very wonderful man, Dr. Peter Manners, is with me at this time.
Dr. Peter Guy Manners is one of the favorites on this show. Give him my very, very best, and I'm getting him on the phone. Because
you're going to.
Hello there, Peter. How are you?
Very well indeed, thank you.
So what are we doing tonight, gentlemen?
Well, we're continuing where we left off, I imagine.
We're going to bend more spoons and smell roses? And
people want, but I thought I'd do some other experiments in releasing energy and doing a bit of work on telepathy. Would you like that?
I would love it.
How did you manage to goof up on my phone number?
Well, you'll have to talk to Heidi about that.
Okay. Well, we can start from there, and what I'd like to do is to let everyone know that I am going to be working with Dr. Manners on continuing the work with the Delaware machine.
Uh-huh.
And Dr. Manners had worked with George Delaware on this machine originally, and we've been having a delightful conversation on some of the early history of how they put this machine together, and I'd like to share this with the audience as a whole. Would you like to start off?
Yeah, why don't you explain to us first what the Delaware machine is about and how it got started and what it supposedly is to do?
Well, the machine is designed to capture the patterns of thought which you create with your mind, and you can precipitate it in this machine into a film plate. It has been a subject of much controversy, ridicule. I have really now the only living machine that is a complete form. It's in my laboratory at this time, and I think the best thing to do is to turn the speaker over to Dr. Manners and have him tell us how this thing got started. Would you mind?
I would love it.
Okay, you're on, my friend. Hello.
Yeah, all right, Peter, what's the machine going to do now?
Well, I think the best way to explain this is that it's an instrumentation, which is an interrelation between mind and the concepts of thought and modern scientific technology. In other words, we can, because we haven't gone into the modern concept of it, and New Age concept of it yet. But what we were able to do when we first developed the instrument was to be able to focus the mind onto a concept or an idea and produce a photograph of it.
In other words, I can think of a lottery ticket.
Pardon?
I can think of a lottery ticket.
Oh, yes.
And have 3 5,000s on it, let's say. And
we'll
produce a photograph of it.
I don't think that was our idea at that time.
Well, I just conjured up the idea here.
Now, what we were trying to do was to photograph conditions which were related to medical problems. So that we could photograph, and we got a photograph which was a kind of, like an X-ray photograph, showing conditions which existed in the human body.
Now, is this, say I conjure up a picture, is it a picture of my own body then that the photo that the machine would show?
If we had the condition relayed to it, I mean, of what the condition was, the operator would then concentrate on that condition, tune into it, and it would produce a photograph. These photographs were extremely interesting. Our only great problem was that they weren't consecutive. We couldn't always produce them. This is what Marcel Vogel is now endeavoring to do, to stabilize this condition with the advanced modern technology, to be able to stabilize this condition and find out where we had gone wrong under those conditions, and to see if we can't get this now to function in a better way.
Well, I think that you've got a top man in the world working on it then, Peter.
Oh, most certainly we have. I think this is really going to establish it and find out exactly and precisely what took part there. You see, in those days, which is some years back now, we were working very much in the dark. We had no idea precisely what we were doing. But now, with the advance in modern technology now, we have a better idea of what is taking place and how the thing is functioning.
Are you getting it to function better?
yes, I can operate the machine, and what I am doing now is to go much further than just looking for a image on the plate, and I'm studying the plates under the optical microscope, and I find a series of energetic tracks that look very much like the photographs that are taken of a Wilson cloud chamber. They're oscillating tracks. They're tracks that show various types of energetic releases. What I believe the camera to be is a acousto-optic image converter that it converts sound into a preliminary or primordial form of light energy. I've put about 50 years of study into the field of what we call luminescence. And I have very carefully prepared these plates, loaded them myself, and I am seeing a host of various tracks from water that we have charged. And we're using that as a prime indicator and a bullion cube of pure silver and gold as reference electrodes to measure these energies. And in this type of study and investigation, we're getting quite repeatable results and some very, very amazing type of tracks, which I showed to Peter today. We had quite a long, lengthy discussion on the significance and meaning of them. And one of the opinions that were brought up that we're looking at solitons, which is a chargeless mass which can be released from usually high-energy particles. So it's becoming quite involved in discussion, but out of that, we should have a rationale that could be presented to science.
Well, the solitons that are affecting that right now...
That is the end thing that people are talking on.
Where are they emanating from?
Well, they're actually being produced in space, in the space of the upper chamber of this camera. And it comes from a vibration or a sound. The bottom part of the camera is a sounding box. It creates a tonal pattern. And these patterns are projected by a magnet into the reflectors that are inside the light tight box. And then the energy is focused through a lens and a polarizing filter, and we produce then an image onto the plate. And I'm doing that now in a consistent way. So I've taken a lot of the, indefinite considerations. In fact, at the end of next week, I'm giving a one-week workshop up at Joy Lake on thought photography and bringing the camera up, and Dr. Manners and myself will be presenting this to the group as a whole.
Well, have you been able to get your thoughts or Peter's thoughts or the thoughts of someone?
Oh, yes, I've done that.
To work now?
Yes, I have. Peter and I will be working next week with the camera together. And we have not yet had a go at it because we've been just had an initial discussion today. We've just come together. This is actually my first time of seeing the camera for many years. The camera, of course, was over in the laboratories originally where we were working. And it was like seeing an old friend, I think, when I saw the camera again today. But it's many years since we actually worked on it. I think when we use the term camera, we may be possibly a little bit misleading. It's not a camera in the normal sense of the word.
Doesn't sound like it, right?
It is a different concept altogether. There is no camera actually in it. What we are registering on the plate is the emanation actually formated in space-time by the project of thought as projected into it. So I think the word camera may be a little bit misleading. I think when we sort of get to work on this again...
Going to have to come up with some... more language for it.
I think we've got to use another name.
A different nomenclature, as it were.
That's right, yes.
But it's still doing that thing, and
well,
it's projecting
it,
images right now of some
it
sort.
It does produce images, and call it what we may, it was one of the key things that intrigued George Delaware. He made many thousands of plates, and the great controversy was there was only one person that could load the plates, which was Cortez, the assistant that George Delaware had. And when he loaded the plate, a charge was applied to the plate, which gave to George Delaware the capacity then to produce images with this instrument. And I've been able to circumvent that because I charged the plates with a crystal like one that I'm holding now in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to do right now, if you want to get things rolling to a higher degree, I have now an eight-sided crystal that I've made, and I build a field with the crystal. I'm going to project it to you in the heart region of your body and to those who are listening to us at this time to give you an idea of what these fields are.
Could you hold on doing that while I take care of some fields here?
Oh, surely.
All right.
Okay.
So we want to get everybody involved in a little experiment here, then.
Uh-huh.
The charged crystal that's being held in the hands of Dr. Marcel Vogel.
All right.
And we'll be to that in just a moment, and then back to Dr. Marcel Vogel and Dr. Peter Guy Manners in a moment. Northern California, Dr. Marcel Vogel and Dr. Peter Guy Manners. And Dr. Vogel is getting ready to send us all some energy. Are we all ready?
You can either hold your hand up or just... I'm going to focus on each of your chests in what you call the thymus region of your body.
Okay, now we all to be holding our hand up.
Hold your hand up and then just breathe in. Hold your breath. Let your breath out again. I'm projecting a beam of white light. Breathe in again. And let your breath out again. Breathe in. And let your breath out and tell me if you feel anything.
Well, I feel almost like a kundalini feeling up and running up and down my back. Is that right?
Correct.
Is that...
Go ahead. Describe it.
In fact, it's gone up higher than I usually can get it to go.
That's right. Keep it up. Now I'm moving the crystal up and down, visualizing your spine, and just moving the energy up and down. Now, as we're listening, Mr. Peterson came up to visit the laboratory this afternoon, and he flew back down again and has wired a person with an electroencephalogram, EEG equipment. And now I'm projecting on to this person that he has wired.
Is that Dr. Rose?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And to increase the alpha activity of her brainwave activity. There I'm coming on to it. There it goes. Now we'll wait and see when he'll call back and see what happens afterwards.
Well, you certainly got my back, my spinal column.
I know. Now, later on, what we're going to do, if you want, is I'm going to do an experiment in pure telepathy with you.
Okay.
And I've created five different figures that I have on sheets of paper here. And I'm going to call these out and then have the audience, if they want, visualize them and write them on pieces of paper. And they can mail them then to the station, and I'll mail the masters to you. Would you like that?
I'd love it.
Because there you get, you'll have an absolutely perfect example of telepathy with no possible equivocation on it. Are you ready?
All right, I'm ready.
All right. Now, number one, all of you, take a deep breath. Close your eyes. And as you let your breath out, look for a image or a figure that comes to your mind and get a piece of paper and a pencil now and sketch it under number one. you get it a image, Bill?
Actually, no.
All right.
All right, Brad got one who is screening our...
We'll go to figure two. Draw your breath in. Close your eyes. Open your eyes and let your breath out. And write now whatever comes to your mind. And put it onto the piece of paper. There's a word and a figure. Either one would be correct.
I'd have felt better if you'd have just said there's a blank piece of paper there, Marcia.
All right, well...
Well, Brad got another one. All right.
Okay. This is what I've done with the class and the mind-boggling classes that I've given in the Santa Fe Unified School District. Okay. Take a deep breath now and reset. We'll go to number three. Draw the breath in. Close your eyes. And open your eyes and let your breath out. And see what impression is now coming through to you at this time. Now, there comes an exchange. Now, I can feel a force leaving my body and interacting with those around in the group. All right, that's done. Take a deep breath now. Reset.
I'm still drawing blanks here.
You're drawing a blank?
Yeah, that didn't mean anything.
I know. Here comes number four. Close your eyes. Draw the breath in. Open the eyes. And let the breath out. And see what impression comes to you. The image, when it appears, sometimes you're helped by momentarily closing your eyes and looking for an impression, then opening it. Doing it in a gentle way. And the moment an impression comes, write it down.
I know one thing, that the feeling in my back has gone all the way up to the base of my skull, Marcel.
It's still running.
Yeah.
Go to number five. Breathe in. Relax. Let your breath out. And look at what is being sent to you in a loving way. So nice to interact with all of you. The session is over with now. Let's take a deep breath. Release. Now, I'm going to take and put this in the mail tomorrow morning to you.
All right.
And then you can have people send in their impressions to you, and you can give a score the next time you...
We'll do it next week.
Next week.
Well, Brad, who is our program consultant tonight, our coordinator, got five clear impressions.
That's wonderful.
Bill, the star of the show, got zip.
Maybe that's a good lesson.
I failed on this.
Well, Bill, you have many other wonderful talents. I know that.
I tell you what, before we get into the other, I'd like to get a couple of calls before the news break comes to see if people got impressions. Why don't you give me a couple of quick calls? 520-TALK, 990-TALK, and we'll be right back with you and Dr. Marcel Vogel and Dr. Peter Guy Manners in just a moment. Telepathy with Dr. Marcel Vogel in Northern California. And Marcel, Brad is our program coordinator. I have Milton in the in the studio with me. They were both getting impressions, and a couple of their impressions ended up being about the same. Exactly the same, in fact.
Really? That's exciting.
So there's, what would you get, two psi hits on that? Now, we'll, of course, check that with what you're going to send.
Uh-huh.
And let's get and see if some other clear impressions were coming in from the group here tonight. Have we got one we can get to, Brad?
Okay.
And see what was happening with the gang that was taking part of this little experiment that we're doing tonight on Open Mind. We have Charlotte. Did you get any impression, Charlotte?
I sure did.
All right.
I sound like I'm in a barrel.
Yeah, you do. What are you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Did you feel the vibration that I was sending to you?
I certainly did.
Are you on a speakerphone or something, Charlotte?
What is it?
Are you on a speakerphone?
No, I'm not.
Hmm. Well, we've certainly activated your telephone.
Yeah.
I've had the phones go dead when I do that, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah, well...
So you got impressions, and what about your back? Did you feel things there?
No.
Hmm.
Where did you feel it?
Well, I had I don't know what you might call it, a discomfort in my side, up under my shoulder, all day.
All right.
And I just put my hand over that while you were
doing that.
Along with the impressions, and it's gone.
Okay, well, now, Charlotte, send me those impressions. All right, you just hold on to them, and I'll read them off next week then, okay?
Oh, all right.
Okay?
All right.
And let's see, what was that? Jeanette?
Hello?
Did you get any impressions?
Yes, I had a horse, and I had a pig, and I had a fish, I had a duck, I had a squirrel, and I had a kitty.
You like animals,
Got a bunch of animals with you.
Yeah, it is coming so, inside me, so easy.
All right, well, those are totally different from the ones we were getting here. But we'll find out next week what they are. Thank you very much there, Jeanette. And one quick one from you, who we have on here. Carl?
Carl?
Yeah, did you get impressions, Carl?
Yes, I did.
What'd you get?
Number one was Buddha.
Okay.
Number two, Cleopatra's Needle.
All right.
The monument. Number three was a cow. Number four was an Indian in full dress. And the last one, I think because of the word loving, I came up with Valentine.
Okay. Valentine, would that be a heart or what?
No, it had lace fringes around the end and a heart in the middle.
All right, there was a heart there involved.
Yeah.
Now, that was the last one?
That was the last one.
Well, how interesting, because we've got a couple of hearts here as the last one.
Well, the word loving, I think, did it.
Uh-huh.
It did, huh?
Well, there's a little bit of telepathy going on. I wonder if we have time. Okay, thank you, Carl.
Okay.
We have just a few seconds. Eileen, did you get any impressions?
Yeah, I did. They're weird, too. I wasn't sure what you meant by impressions. I got, for one, I got a zero, I got a hand, a truck, a summer, and a job.
Good.
All right.
Well, you got one of them correct.
I did. Which one? The job?
You're going to find out next week. Got one right, Eileen.
Oh, boy.
All right. Thank you very much.
Right, you guys.
Okay. We'll have more fun things for you to do. The music means we're going to take a break here at 10 o'clock for the news from ABC.
How long is that going to be?
With about 6 or 7 minutes, Dr. Marcel Vogel is with me and Dr. Peter Guy Manners. And we have 2 more hours of some experiments that'll stretch your mind and perhaps teach it new things. So stay with us tonight. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind.
Number three, people will get either the fourth object or the one before that. So that often happens that in the sequence of events like this, sometimes there is an anticipation by somebody listening in of what I was going to do.
They'd already had a precognitive look at it then.
That is correct. And so it opens up. When I deal with a burst of about 5 different impressions like this, that any one in the series of the 5 would be considered a hit no matter where it occurs.
Okay.
Now, when I send these down to you, you can have a lot of fun. We can deal with it. Now, what I'd like to do is to have Dr. Manners speak to all of you on some of the understanding that he has of what this type of imaging is in the Delaware device, or camera as they have called it, and I'd like now to turn this over to Dr. Manners.
Well, one more thing, Marcel. We're expecting to hear now from Drs. Rose and Peterson, are we not?
Yes, they will call you in.
Oh, they will call in to hear.
Yes.
Okay. And
Peter,
see,
do you want to get on now?
Hello.
Okay, Dr. Peter Guy Manners. What were we doing?
Well, I think what was happening, first of all, I'd like to give an opinion as to the correlations that were made of 1 to 5. Listening on this side, it was rather surprising that the strength of reaction was felt after 3, 4, and 5. Number 1 and 2, I don't think people had possibly caught onto the idea of what was happening, what was taking place. But immediately we got to 3, then you started to feel some reaction. People were beginning to correlate and to understand what was happening, what was expected, and they started to sort of fall into the idea.
Now, whenever you say feel reaction, were you able to sense reaction from the people here in Southern California?
Yes, most definitely. Oh, yes, you can feel a feedback from it. Immediately there is a correlation between people. Immediately you start to formulate on an idea. In other words, you begin to understand. You begin to know what it is. Then this forms a kind of correlation which feeds back. You can begin to feel it. For the first start, of course, I mean, it is slow. Now, this is the kind of thing that happened even when we were using the camera. Very often, for the first start, when we started to use it, and the first line of plates that were put in, we got little or no reaction from it. But once the operating staff, etc., began to understand what was happening, what was taking place, then it started to feed in the information, and we started to get it. We started to get results on play.
Well, I'm glad that the folks were out there getting reaction, because if you were getting feedback from me, were you getting zip? I didn't get an impression.
It's often what happens. Once the idea is formulated within the minds of people, then it starts to formulate a concept and a pattern. You see, what you figure in your mind takes place in space-time.
Mm-hmm.
And this starts to formulate. Now, if you have several people thinking along the same lines or pondering along the same concept, even if they're only just giving it a casual thought, that starts to build into a thought form shape. And then this starts to shape up, starts to vitalize, and you get a feedback from it so that you can more or less tell when things are beginning to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly the same way as we could almost foretell before we took the plate there to the camera that we're going to get something on this one or we're not going to get anything on this one, mm-hmm. as the case may be. You began to know before the plates were taken out because you could feel the reaction basically from the camera itself.
That's amazing that that kind of energy would just traverse that distance and do that.
Right. There is no time or space when you deal with this. What I'd like to do now is another experiment which does not involve anybody in writing, but I will carry on and go a little step deeper in bringing in the sense of smell with the imagery and the imaging that one can do in space.
We did that last time, I think, and we had
right. The
whole town smelling the roses.
Good. Shall we do this again?
Oh, yes, indeed.
All right. Let's everybody sit up and we relax. Now I'm going to tune in to all of you who are present. Dr. Manners has a crystal, and I have a crystal, and we're going to tune in from two directions to all of you. Now, I'm going to create a apple, a beautiful big red apple, with my mind projected through the crystal. Now, can you see with your mind's eye now an apple? Can you, Peter?
Yes.
Yes. Let the apple grow and mature to ripeness. Now, I'm going to cut the apple straight through, split it, take one part of the apple and bring it close to your nose. Now, smell the apple. Now, reach over and take this piece and put a bit in your mouth and chew it. Masticate it. and experience the essence of the apple. Take another breath now. Erase the apple. Relax. Breathe in again. And now we'll plant a rose plant in the ground. We have a cutting. Now we're going to water that plant with love. And let us watch now this stalk start to sprout, grow in space, become a fully mature rose bush. There it comes now. A bud is forming, a beautiful red rose. Now it's emerging. Let it grow, fully develop. Now smell the rose and experience the essence, the beauty of a fully evolved, developed rose. Peace be to all of you.
All right.
Now.
I smelt the apple.
Yes, you did.
But I didn't taste it.
No, but you smelt it.
And I smelt the rose.
That's right.
Brad, you smelt the apple, and Brad tasted the apple.
Uh-huh. It was a beautiful, red delicious.
He's got written on my computer here, beautiful apple.
Yeah, it was. It was a big one. It's a big apple.
And he told me he didn't believe this stuff. You a believer now, Brad? He says he's got to.
Isn't that wonderful when we can deal with our imagination this way and work?
Let's see if... I know that we have Craig and Edson standing by. They want to talk about the camera, but I want to get some reaction from those of you that did or did not get the essence of that apple.
All right.
Visually, I didn't see it. I did smell the apple. I didn't taste it. I didn't see the rose. I'm not too good on imaging here tonight, but I did smell, and I smelt the rose.
You see, there you can deal with either the organoleptic sense, which is the smell, or the visualization. Now, when your mind is locked in, Bill, as you're dealing now, you have to almost wipe out the imaginative faculty to maintain the continuity of work that we're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you follow me? But
yes.
You can get through into that faculty through the smell and the what was called the organoleptic sense.
Well,
that's
came,
why I deal with both of these.
That came through very, 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 very clear.
Yeah, because we're very closely linked to one another right now.
All right, let's see. Kathy is on the line. Kathy, did you smell or taste the apple?
Yes, I did. I smelled the apple and I tasted it a little. The rose, I couldn't get a... I watched it grow, but I couldn't get a smell of it.
But you did see it grow.
I seen it grow, yes. And I did taste that apple and I smelled that apple.
Good. How did you like that?
It was a wonderful apple.
Is that a good apple?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so.
All right, bye. And, Craig, did you taste the smelly apple?
What's that?
Hello.
Hello?
Greg?
No.
Yeah, did
okay.
you did you get the apple?
I'll tell you, I had a funny time. Are we getting feedback here?
Yeah, you're getting. We're having feedback all night tonight.
Someone feels that it's being filled up now, you know.
I can't figure out why we should be getting feedback.
Well, did you smell the apple?
Yeah, I was going to say, I had a funny time with it. I recently got some unsprayed, organically grown apple, fresh picked. First time in many years. And the flavor is so strong on those apples that I literally could only eat, maybe a fourth of an apple at a time. And so when you're asking me to taste that flavor in my mouth, I was a little overwhelmed by it. Just because of my own recent experience.
Did you smell a rose?
I didn't carry through all the way with that.
All right. I know you want to talk about Dr. Vogel's machine. Do you want to hold on and we'll get back to that a little bit?
Right.
Brad, we'll put Craig on hold there. And let me go to some of the others just to see what kind of reaction we're getting before we go on tonight. Esther, you're on.
Yes. Oh, I tried so hard to get the apple and the rose, but I got neither one.
Oh. Okay.
Okay.
Is that nothing?
Nothing at all.
Oh.
Well, I didn't get any images, so...
I really tried.
You'll make me feel better. All right, thank you very much. And who we have here? Marie.
Yes.
Did you get an apple?
Oh, not only that, but before he said apple, I knew it was going to be apple. I visioned it.
Did you?
And I smelled it, I tasted it, and I smelled the rose.
Yes, that precognitive thing you were talking about, Marcel.
Yes, you see, you know I was going to say an apple, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
And I didn't know a moment. I was toying with a banana.
I was looking at a banana that I have that I have sitting right in my house, and then I picked up apple.
Yeah, because I was going to use a banana at first, and I said no. And then I went to an apple, and then it set, because that's why I think many people will have picked up a banana for a moment.
And that's exactly what I did, and that is the truth. And then I picked up an apple.
See, this shows that we're linked together with thought. The moment you think, a person becomes one with you. And this is going on all the time. This is going on at nighttime. When you dream, your dreams interact with one another.
Well, I thought the first part was very interesting, too, and I'd like to tell you the five that I had.
Good.
Or is it too late?
No.
Go ahead and lay them down, but then we'll check you out next week, okay?
All right, that's fine. I missed number one. I couldn't get in on that. And the second was a number, and I picked up on seven. And then I had the heart, and I had a cow. A cow and a heart.
Mm-hmm. All right. The heart seems to be coming up a lot here tonight.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Thank you.
Next week, we'll find out about that.
Thank you.
All right. And, Betty.
Yes. Hello, Bill.
Yes.
I smelled the apple, but I didn't taste it.
I didn't either.
I didn't smell the rose. But I do want to mention that every once in a while when I'm watching a cooking show maybe on TV, I can smell the food. Is that possible?
Sure it is.
Sure it is.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it might be my imagination, but I could swear, because sometimes I think it's coming from somebody that's cooking in the building, and it's not.
What is your imagination?
Pardon?
What is your imagination?
We don't know.
That's right. If you have the power of you, with your mind, to create anything you want, and once you watch a cooking program, and you link to it, you experience it totally.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fun of this.
I can smell it very often. Sometimes just one article, sometimes the whole dinner.
All right. So.
All right, thank you.
All right, hon, you're figuring all of that. And let's do one more and see what who we have here. Fran?
Hi, Bill.
How'd you make it with the apples and the roses?
Well, I was interesting. I was picturing a Jonathan.
A Jonathan apple?
Yeah. And I did get some of the taste. But as soon as he mentioned the rose, just the word rose, all of a sudden, it was like my whole room was permeating with rose.
Mm-hmm. You really got the rose then?
Really, but vividly, and it lasted quite a while.
Yep.
It may be still here, but I'm concentrating on you now. It was really an interesting thing, actually smelling a strong rose scent.
Right. And you didn't have any in the room.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but you see, that came from me to the crystal projecting to you.
I want to thank you. It was delightful.
Good. Now, you see, the same thing could be done. I could project an image of myself, my being, and if you were in the properly relaxed state, suddenly I would be there in front of you, and I've done this.
Oh, really? You can project the image of yourself to someone?
Oh, surely.
It's very interesting. I can use, quite often, I can describe people coming into people's lives or who are already there.
That's right.
I mean, I can actually see them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I haven't had that experience of having that person immediately in front of me.
Right. I will do that now to you.
All right.
Watch. Close your eyes.
All right.
And now I'm going to project in a loving way to you in your room and stand there and say hi. Can you feel me now? There it comes.
That's right.
You don't see it as a physical image. It's a vibration.
Oh, okay.
There it comes down. Now comes the vibration, and I can see you.
I hope not. I hope not. I'll charge you.
All right. Now, wait a minute, Marcel. We may have a good thing going here. I want to concentrate real hard on this myself.
As they say, I'm disabused.
Oh, Fran. Look at you.
Isn't she sweet?
Isn't she? This is a family show, too.
Well, Bill knows me. Anyway, that was interesting. I don't know what you look like, actually.
No, you don't, but you can feel me.
Yes, I can. Are you slender?
No, I'm a big person. I'm over 200.
I'm picturing somebody who's kind of slender.
Yeah. Oh, you're looking at me.
Bill, it's not you.
Okay.
No, there's another person on the line. That's Dr. Manners.
Oh, and that's who I'm picking up.
Yes, he is slender.
He is very slender. Yes, he is.
Maybe that's
give a description and tell you if it's right.
Pardon me?
I don't give a description.
Well, I'm not certain. I don't know if somebody has a beard or had a beard.
No.
I'm seeing somebody kind of slender and somebody that's kind of beardish.
Not a beard.
Pardon me?
No beard.
No. Now I'm getting a little nervous.
No, that's right.
Well, you know, sitting around talking to a bunch of guys in a buff there, Fran. And we're looking at you.
Oh, my God.
Through Marcel's crystal.
Yeah, but you are a very beautiful and a very happy person. You've enjoyed life to a very high degree.
Thank you.
And it's real fun being with you now.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, Fran, thank you for smelling the apples and for the little treat and all of that. I'm Bill Jenkins, and with me is Dr. Marcel Vogel, Dr. Peter Guy Manners, and Fran just left. You could should just let her sit around there for a while the way she was. And we'll be right back. Thought Energy is your hearing, and he'll be giving a seminar Saturday, October 19th at 10 a.m. at the LAX Hilton Hotel. Now, Marcel was a senior scientist with IBM for 27 years and has received numerous awards. He holds a number of patents. Marcel is a true scientist, and the physical and spiritual dimensions of life are a part of his world. In his seminar, Marcel will be talking about the therapeutic effects of healing with crystals and the poser of thought. Joining Marcel at the demonstration of the Delavoir thought photography camera and the Omega 4 metronomic machine will be Dr. Peter Guy Manners and Dr. John Adams. Movie will be shown, as you're hearing here tonight. Now, this seminar has limited seating. Advance reservations are strongly recommended. You may make a reservation by calling area code 213-393-9405. Again, join Marcel in his seminar, The Power of Thought, Saturday, October 19th at the L.A. Hilton at 213-393-9405. Call them for information. All right, there you've got the scoop on things. Marcel, you've got them turned on out there tonight.
Well, we're just beginning. We're having fun, aren't we?
We're having a lot of fun. What else are we going to do here?
Well, I just got a call of one of the young men that you have there.
Yes, sir.
He's got a cold, and he asked me if I could do anything to help his cold. So I said, all right, let's have a go. Let's see what we can do for colds. In fact, for any nasal congestions or
bronchial congestions
or pain in the back that you have.
We have a lot of the flu and near pneumonia running around in Southern California.
All right, let's see what we can do to release that and bring a state of balance and well-being.
Okay.
Peter, I'd like to have... Peter's going to be with his crystal, and I have mine. Are you okay, Peter?
Yes, all right.
All right, now we're going to beam in on the virus that is responsible for causing the nasal congestion, the discomfort and temperatures that people are suffering from at this time and who are listening to us at this moment of time. Now, we'll beam in onto the virus and start to inactivate this virus to break down its activity on the bodies of the people who are listening. Now, I want each one of you who are listening to take your hand and bring it to the area that is giving you maximum discomfort. Focus your mind on that now, and will that your body be freed from the temperature congestion that you are suffering from? Focus on that now. Take a deep breath. Bring it in. Now, body back to normal and freedom from the discomfort and difficulty that this agent is giving to your body. Peace to you. May your bodies now become whole. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Peace be to you. And may you now be free from all discomfort and disease.
Well, let's hope that works.
We'll see what happens. I'm perspiring now from head to foot.
You know, I had a strange feeling. I've had a bronchial problem here for the last couple of weeks. Couldn't come to work a couple of weeks ago.
But
I put my hand right over, you know, the bronchial tree.
Right.
And my hand got fiery hot.
There's a lot of energy being released.
Now, Brad, you have 15 minutes to get rid of that cold. Are you still sniffling? Sniffling has gone away? You know, Brad's really in tune with you tonight, Marcel.
Oh, I think he's a great person, and I'm feeling very close to him. In fact, to all of you there, I was a little concerned about getting on the program with you tonight.
How's that?
Well, I saw a imperfect signal coming through, and I had no way of breaking through at first.
It was an imperfect area code.
That is right. But we're together now.
We did it.
It takes between 5 and 10 minutes for this type of energy transfer to take effect in the physical body. So we'll allow this to flow. And Peter, are you on the other line?
Yes.
Can you give some impressions which you picked up as we were doing this?
Well, I'd like to go back to the rose and the apple. I had no idea what you were going to refer to.
All right.
But my rose was much better than my apple.
Uh-huh.
I think that's because looking at it from the angle at which we've been working, a rose, you said plant it and watch it grow.
Right.
Now, that is a living thought, a living energy.
All right.
And as soon as you said that, I mean, I could visualize without any difficulty whatsoever that grow and bloom and flower. And immediately it flowered, you could smell it profusely.
Right.
Really good. You see, the apple has been picked and it's dormant. But the rose was a natural growing, forming thing. And therefore, I mean, it had a greater impact, I think, and it's registered very much more, very much stronger.
Could you feel the exchange of the energy that I just did now with the audience as we were working?
Oh, very much. Oh, yes, that's very strong.
Did your body perspire as mine did?
Yes, you get very warm, very hot. I'm still holding a crystal in my hand, and it feels as if it's been heated.
Yeah, it's like it being put into an induction furnace.
Yes, it's very hot.
Yeah, my hand got very hot, but I didn't get sweaty.
No, it's a different type of heat than
dry heat.
It's a dry heat. Yeah, it heats up. Parts of your body will perspire, but you don't perspire like you've been running it or exercising by running around the block or so.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can feel a number of responses, the cooling action that is going on now, and I think some people are getting relief. Can you feel that now?
Well, I got a little note here on my computer from Brad. He said 90% gone.
Really?
Yeah.
Good.
So he's a good subject for you.
Because he was running a temperature.
Right.
His nose was congested, and he had difficulty in speaking clearly.
I know, when he saw me before the show, he looked like death warmed over out there.
Right.
Now he's ready to go out to the...
Well, he's going to take a good-looking girl out before
that's right.
the night is over with.
Going to go to the disco or someplace,
he
right,
will.
Brian?
He'll swing his heels up now. Oh, that's wonderful. It's so good to be with all of you.
Are we having fun?
I hope so.
Yeah, we are. We'll be right back to Dr. Marcel Vogel and Dr. Peter Guy Manners in just a moment. I'm Bill Jenkins, line here. He said he's just feeling so much better. I guess he talked to you there, Marcel, right?
Yes, he said it's almost all gone.
All right. So it's off to the disco instead of into bed with him.
I know. Well, he made a remark, and I'd like to share it with everyone who is listening. He said he wasn't sure whether it was the crystal or not. Well, the crystal is just a piece of quartz, but it has the property which we call piezoelectricity. And piezoelectricity means that when you press the thing, you can convert pressure into an electrical field. But that is not the real thing. It is that when you cut it to the shape I have, I can build a field in it much the same as you can build a field in a laser, a crystal laser. And the field coheres, locks together, and you can release it in a discrete, realistic way. The crystal per se has no power. The power comes from your own intention, from your own focus and determination to do something either for yourself or for another person. And as you think, so you are. Energy then follows thought.
Well, when you think, you create. Whenever you think, you create energy, anyway.
And you create energy, and that's my whole focus and research. I'm devoting the rest of my life on this earth plane to the study of this on a scientific basis.
So we do want to make that clear, Marcel. We're not talking about some sort of mysticism here. It is a matter of science and a matter of physics.
That is correct, and I've had a conference all day today with a group of scientists trying to come to a rationale and a understanding and theory of what these forces are. And we have the power to within ourselves to bring ourselves to a basis of well-being and wholeness. That's what I did a few moments ago with all of you. What I projected from myself is a feeling of well-being, a thought of love. The same thing that Christ did 2,000 years ago when people came to him for healing. He just reached out, embraced them, released them from the patterns that they had built around themselves, and he said, go, you are healed.
I'm going to open up the phones right now to those who may want to comment on whether that went through the exercise concerning their respiratory or their colds or whatever that we did about 10 or 15 minutes ago. They should start feeling it.
Yeah, that's about ready now.
Yeah, and of course, if they did as well as Brad, we're in good shape. Let me, we'll talk to as many of you can here for the next few minutes.
All right.
Let me quickly give you the number, 639-TALK, if you're down in the Compton, Lakewood, Long Beach area. South Bay, you're 679, San Gabriel Valley, 448. Glendale, Pasadena, Burbank, 244, Orange County, 750, San Fernando Valley, 990-520-TALK for Los Angeles. All numbers end of TALK. And we'll get some reactions for those of you that took part in that experiment if you want to share that with us, whether you did or whether you didn't. So we'll wait for those to come in.
All right.
in just a moment. While we're doing that, though, while we're waiting for everybody to get ready and tell us. All right, we got one here. We have, who's on the line here?
My name is Joan Charles.
All right, Joan, how'd you do with your cold?
Well, I had a remarkable experience because I've had sniffy nose all week and all of a sudden it's gone.
Sniffy nose is gone?
Well, the sniffles are gone.
They are gone.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
It was really great. Didn't I hear something about you coming in town? Can I see you myself?
You sure can. I'll be there in the 19th. Is that right?
I believe it is the 19th. We had that commercial on just a little bit ago.
And I'll be there in person, and I can give you a big hug.
Terrific. I look forward to that.
That'd be wonderful.
All right, and we'll be going over that again. I'm glad you got rid of the sniffles.
Thanks very much.
All right. How did you do?
Hello?
Yeah.
This is Sal.
All right, Sal.
Hi. Yes, I did extraordinarily well. I at the time that he was talking about the cold, I was flossing my teeth, right?
Uh-huh.
And between one of the teeth on the upper left-hand side, I hit a very, very painful sore gum between them. I didn't even realize I had the problem there. And I says, oh, my God, this is terrible. And just at that point, he started talking about the cold thing. And I says, oh, what the hell, I might as well try it.
Yeah.
So I put my hand up on the gum area that had just flossed and experienced the pain. And I did the whole thing. And afterwards, a reduction immediately occurred. And then after a few more minutes, it's just about totally gone.
Just gone.
Yeah.
All right.
And I had one other thing to mention, is that the works of L. Ron Hubbard, the book he wrote called 8808, deals exactly, specifically with what the gentleman, I forget your name, is going to be studying for the rest of his life in terms of energy and science and so forth. 8808 by L. Ron Hubbard.
I have the book.
You have?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, then you know.
All right.
Okay, sir. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And how did you do? We got everything going on. Hello, how did you do now?
Hello.
Yeah, Marcel, you're there? We're Feedback City here tonight, aren't we?
Well, I'm pumping energy into you. Maybe that's...
Maybe that's what it is. Okay. Well, we'll just see what we can do with our phones here in just a second. We're talking to Dr. Marcel Vogel, and we want to talk to more of you that took part in that experiment about your colds or whatever in just a moment.
Hello? Hello?
It's just not working. Well, Marcel, we'll try to figure out what's happening on the phones here in a little bit.
Well, I'd like to expand a bit on what we are really doing with the crystals with you and the audience be interested.
Mm-hmm.
The crystals are cut by us from natural crystals from Brazil and Arkansas. And they're cut to a four-sided, six-sided, or eight-sided crystal. And they're doubly terminated, which means there appear metal forms on the back side and a more highly attenuated pyramidal form on the front side. These crystals are cut and tuned. What I mean by tuned, they're ground and fitted by measuring techniques so that the vibration, the fundamental vibration that the crystal gives out, matches that of water. And we have instrumentation in our laboratory that we can measure these fields. And so the crystal is attuned to water, and that's why when you mentioned colds, it was very powerful in affecting then nasal congestion and sinusitis or sinus troubles. You can tune the vibration of the crystal right into water and then have it being acted on with the fields that we generate.
Well, I had one of the crystals that are made by Sawyers.
Uh-huh.
Just like that for my spa.
Right.
No chlorine.
Right. Isn't that beautiful?
No chlorine whatsoever, and the water is just as silky as it can be.
That is right. Those people who have crystals also, you hold them over your water or over your food, take a deep breath and focus on the crystal and just pulse your breath, and the food is much more palatable, it tastes better, and is much more readily consumed. And it is this field that I am studying. And the way I do it, I can transfer the energy from the crystal to water, then measure this with a spectral photometer, which means I can see the change in the structuring of that water after the charge has been transferred. We see it in the far ultraviolet, below 2,000 angstrom units. And there is a change in the band structure after I treat the water this way.
It's
a change in pH, electrical conductivity, and the dielectric constant. So we're talking real differential measurement.
It seems to dramatically reduce the surface tension of the water also.
Yes, sir. Very, very much so. There is a tremendous change in the way crystals I'm talking precipitate out from solution, either from the tissue salt or from silica itself that is dissolved in the water.
I find it fascinating in that, as you know, in a hot spa, and you have so many people in it all of the time, the pH remains constant and just exactly the way it should be.
Right, it's a stabilizing force. Well, I'd like to share something with you and the whole audience, and the fascinating experiment. I just did this last week. Are you familiar with ley lines?
Yes, indeed.
Well, we were up at Joy Lake, and we located a ley line with the dowsing rod.
Mm-hmm.
And then the group, I had about 52 people in the workshop that was given. Then I took people at will from the group who had never worked with the dowsing rods and had them detect the ley lines, and every one of them got the line exactly the same as I did, so there was no equivocation on that. Then I took a crystal and put it on the ley line. We had located it, and I put the crystal there. I went beyond the crystal. We found no ley lines. The field had been completely attenuated by the crystal.
Changed it all together?
That's right. And then we went on the other side of the crystal, you know, the preceding part, and then we detected the ley line. And beyond that, the ley line was gone.
Well, that's a good thing to know if you happen to have built your house across the ley line.
That is correct. That's why I'm passing this on to the audience.
Some people may not know what a ley line is. Marcel, you want to explain it?
Surely. A ley line is a subterranean moving body of water. And when any water moves along a discrete area, the moving body of water produces a magnetic-like field. These fields then are emanating from the surface of the ground up into the atmosphere, and when one walks across those areas, one detects them with dowsing rods, which are either L rods made out of metal or the herringbone type of a detection that one does. So the physical body of ours reacts by a convulsive jerk when one goes across this field. Is an inductive effect, and you get like you've been shocked, and you react to that. That's called a ley line. Now, animals will detect these and use them as a means to give a much more comfortable birth to their young. They will deliberately choose these ley lines to give birth to their young. Crossing ley lines at a critical angle will produce adverse effects. It will cause discomfort in a home where people have crossing ley lines, and cause even severe mental depression and illness. And in England, where I came from just the early part of this year, dowsers will detect these and use devices to break up the ley lines so they do not affect the homes of people.
You certainly don't want to build a home across one if you can help it.
Not one bit. But
not too many contractors pay attention to that, though, do they?
Not a bit, and that's why I'm passing it on to the group now. One does not need a finished crystal like I have in my hand now. One can just use the plain crystals they can buy from a rock shop. Now, for their own good, I recommend that people can try this by taking the natural crystals and putting them in four corners of your living room or bedroom.
Yeah.
And you feel the area quiet down, and the area has a much better sense of tranquility and peace.
All right, we're going to take a break for the news right here, Marcel, but we'll be right back. And for hour three of Open Mind, come on in here.
Subscribe to it. It is $25 for a 2-year subscription. And I give experiments each month that people can, every other month, rather, that they can do, and we interact and communicate with them with what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
This one that's coming up will be how to be more creative in your work, how to use crystals to amplify the creative faculties of an individual. And I guess they could write in either to you if they're interested, or they could come and send it directly to us.
Well, what's your address there? Let them send it to you. And
my address is 1725 Little Orchard Street, Unit C in San Jose, California, 95125. Now, I'd like to mention the field, the energy that we release into the crystal is almost identical to what one does in metal bending, or the bending of various metal objects.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If you recall the last time we did this over the air, and I was wondering if you or the group would like to have another go at that.
To do a little little spoon bending?
Yes.
I don't know why not. I don't have a spoon. I would like to. Too bad, because I failed on that one last time.
Yes, but we had this wonderful young boy, if you recall, who not only bent the spoon for his with his girlfriend, but when he got home and opened the drawer of his mother's kitchen, there was a whole mass of bent kitchen cutlery. And he wrote me this most wonderful letter, and I was wondering if he ever made amends to his mother.
His mother may be looking for you, Marcel.
Oh, yeah, but
yeah.
The same field that we release when we think in a loving and thoughtful way towards our fellow man.
All right, let's conduct that experiment. Go get a spoon.
Have people get any cutlery, a spoon, tablespoon?
What about a key?
Key is equal so.
All right.
If be sure you get a key that you are not too concerned with, because you wouldn't be able to use it after that.
Well, there goes that. I use all the keys I've got.
Yeah, but so just we sit down and we'll communicate together.
All right.
Now, see, I just got to the mail. I bought from the East West Bookstore a book written by Professor Halstead on the metal benders.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole book devoted to this and to the understanding and the theory that goes into the bending of metals, the studies that this professor has done. He's at Birkbeck University in England. I had the privilege of meeting him at a evening festivity, and we spent many hours talking together on some of the ideas and theories that he has put together. Many young people can do this metal bending without physical contact with the metal object itself. They're put in remote locations, and they focus on it, and they have strain gauges attached to the metal, and the strain gauge shows a microwave-like oscillation. And when they put it into a plastic container and they leave one end open, the object will bend, but when they totally seal it, the object does not bend. And so there is some form of a oscillation that we release with our mind, and it is like a very high frequency sound wave. We can pick it up in piezoelectric transducers. The book is quite explicit in showing the frequencies that they pick up.
Well, we have some of our physicists we talked to on the show that think that perhaps there is a scalar pulsed wave in there.
That's correct. And these vibrations become very, very intense. So what I'm going to do is to help everybody who is listening to get their fields revved up so they can get the power base going, that they can bend this at will. And what I find is most conducive is that when you try hard, nothing happens. But if you put your intention in your mind that I'm going to bend this metal and it's going to be like rubber, you draw your breath in, you build the image in the object you want to deal with to do this, let your breath out and think the word bend, 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 and suddenly you're saying, let's go and start bending. So let us all do this.
All right, everybody should have their spoons by now.
Right. And just take and rub your spoon back and forth.
I've got a key.
And just rub it. continue rubbing and become one with the object you're trying to bend. Now I'm going to project a field to all of you. Great big loving field. Dr. Manners is with me with his crystal. So we're both beaming to all of you at this time.
There goes my back again.
I know it. Well, I can see it to you now. Now breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in this time. Hold your breath. Visualize the metal bending. Focus your mind on that now and bend, bend, bend it. Now start to bend it in any shape you want. Just make it into a loop. Any fancy shape. And write and let us know what you have accomplished.
Marcel, I've got news for you. I put down my crystal and picked up one of your spoons, and I wrecked it.
You have.
you wrecked.
You did it.
You wrecked some of Marcel's spoons.
So one of my spoons is now history, and we'll go into our museum.
You're going to be one spoon short.
Well, I'm checking this key. I felt that it was bending, but if it did, it was the slightest kind of bend.
Well, that's, isn't it? So there is also very exciting. You get the bend, you put it down, they continue to bend spontaneously.
I saw that with Greta Woodrow.
Right.
Well, she shrinks them now.
She shrinks them?
Yeah, I don't know how she's doing that.
Yeah, isn't she a character?
She's incredible.
Yeah, see, I have one of her forks that she bent for me.
Yeah, I have, I think, two or three there at the house that she did. And not only did after she bent it, then she just looked at it and motioned with her finger, and the head, the bent head then went sideways.
Yeah, it goes kink like in the kink.
Yeah. Well, I failed with the key. But let's see if we have any spoon benders out there.
Let's see if we can give additional marks of accolade to any of the spoon benders in the family now.
All right, so the spoon benders, why don't you check in with us here? Let me quickly, all the numbers end at TALK, 520-TALK, 990-TALK, 750 if you're in the Orange County area, Burbank, Glendale, or Pasadena, 244. I want to hear about those bent spoons. Down in the South Bay, 679, and in the Long Beach, San Pedro, Paramount area, 639, and we'll get to as many of you as possible. And see what we can do with, let's see if we've done it. I hope you did better. Of course, maybe this is an unbendable key that I had, Marcel.
Oh, it'll let go.
Well, I'll just keep working on it there.
Yeah, you just keep rubbing it, and then you realize, and it suddenly lets go and just gets like putty.
Well, I've seen it done. Uri Geller took a key I was holding in my hand, and he just touched it, and it bent right over, and poor Joyce Coleman couldn't get into her office because we used her key.
I know it.
For that particular purpose.
What is Uri Geller doing now? Do you have any idea?
You know, I haven't heard from Uri in some time, but he's back on the East Coast, I understand. Here we've got some calls coming in. Hello. How'd you do with your spoon?
Hello.
Yes. Hello. Yeah.
Hmm? This is Kay. My spoon bent. I can't believe it.
It did bend.
Yes, it sure did.
How big a bend did you get in it?
Oh, it, quite a bit. I know I'm going to have to use it for something special.
Well, why don't you just save it, you know, and frame it. Say, this is what happens when you listen to the Open Mind Show.
Well, that's a good idea.
When Dr. Vogel is on, you're going to check the spoons in your drawer there. I hope you didn't bend the rest of them.
I hope not either.
Okay.
Okay, thanks a lot, Bill.
Isn't that fascinating?
Oh, it sure is.
All right. Thank you very much, Alan.
Okay.
And how did you do on your spoons? You're on.
Hello?
Yeah. We're having a little bit of phone trouble here tonight. It's all that energy you're sending up. Are you on with us there, number nine?
Hello? What are you doing to your phone line?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, you on?
Oh, yes, I am.
Well, I was wondering what happened.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, this is Edson, and I enjoyed the show very much this evening, and my spoon is still bending right here in front of me right now.
It's bending in front of you?
Yes.
Still going?
Yes. In fact, it was a little crooked to begin with. Now it's straightening out. So, Yeah, could I ask something about the cameras?
Do you want to hang on there, Edson? We want to talk about the cameras. Let's check on the spoon benders there just for a little bit. We'll put you on, Brad, put Edson on hold, and we'll go to other spoon benders and see how they're doing, if we can find one. We do have a lot of questions they want to know about some of the other things. What are some of the other spoon bending numbers, Brad? We've got two that's done it. And so far, how did you do with your spoon now?
Oh, this is Bill Jenkins?
Yes, it is, huh?
Yeah, I bend my spoon. I can't believe it.
You did it, huh?
Yes.
You just did it.
You just bent your spoons.
My body was seemed like it was hot all over me.
Uh-huh. Well, should you get hot like that, Marcel?
Sure.
All right.
There's an inductive heating that goes on.
Okay, that's 3 out of 3 so far. Thank you very much,
Anne,
for checking in with us. And how'd you do on yours? You're on.
Hello?
Yes, huh? Who's on the line now?
Hello?
Yeah, there you are.
Oh.
I don't have your name, so that's okay. I'm just kind of flitting to the spoon vendors. Did you bend your spoon tonight?
Yeah, I did. It was just amazing. I was just, you know, I really was kind of skeptical, and I didn't know if it was going to work, and it just, I mean, it just went right over.
So what are you going to do with that spoon?
I don't know. I can't eat my yogurt with it anymore.
No, you can't. Well, why don't you frame that and say, look, I did that with my mind.
I guess I better. That metal bending stuff?
We're going to go into that and many, many more.
It's going to be a fascinating workshop, and we'll be telling you all about it here in just a few minutes.
One of the key things I'll be discussing is how you really can heal yourself and bring yourself to a state of wholeness and well-being.
Uh-huh. The same kind of energy you'd use.
Same thing. If you can take every day and stand in front of the mirror and say, I love this body, I'm proud of it, boy, you get stronger, and you have none of the aches and pains that so many of us carry around and struggle with. Of course, if you can bend metal as you did tonight, you can do the same thing to your body. You can bend your body out of shape, and then you struggle with being all twisted and torn up inside. And when you start loving yourself, you break all of those unnecessary bonds, and you're free.
And bend it back into shape.
Put it right back into shape.
That's great.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, really. Yeah,
thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Okay, Marcel, we have a message for you. You're going to have to do part of your experiment over. Dr. Peterson's plane was delayed.
But
he now has Dr. Rose instrumented with the brainwave monitor recording her brainwaves on one monitor and the program on the other.
Okay.
So you want to get your crystal and send information. Explain what this is.
Okay. Peter, are you on the other line?
I am.
Good. All right, let's beam our crystals to this woman. Let's first create a picture of her in our mind. So all of you who are listening, you can participate with us at this time.
Well, let us, shall we explain just a little bit more?
All right, what we're going to try to do is to influence the brain wave activity of a person who has been wired to an electroencephalogram, And Pete Peterson was in our laboratory tonight, this afternoon. We discussed this, so we flew back to L.A., and set this woman up, and we're going to try to directly affect her from here.
Now she's here in Southern California, right?
Yeah, in Southern California. We're in San Jose now. So I'm going to create an image of her now with my mind. Draw the breath in, all of you. Visualize this woman with the electrical equipment attached to her. Let your breath out. Now, I'm going to start pumping into her. All right, let us all breathe together. And send her a great big hug and a thought of well-being. Release. Breathe in. Another big thought of love, well-being to her, focus on her, release.
relax, focus on her again, create an image of this woman. Now create a tone, think of A, hear the tone of A, and send her a great big red burst of light. Release. Now breathe in, relax, and disconnect from her. Now I can hear, in my ears, I'm hearing the tone of A is still pulsing and going on in my brain. There is the tone of A. Now, I'm looking at the alpha wave activity of hers, and I see it now being amplified. Peter, can you see it?
Yes, I can.
There it comes up now. What is the time we have right now?
We have 24 minutes past 11.
24 past 11. So we have a note of that. Now we'll turn it off. Now, Peter, you and I, let us work on her theta activity. Let's go in. Amplify. Breathe in. And release. That should do it. Breathe in and relax. I'd like to mention now that I'm doing this type of work, except in proximate occasion, with the work that I'm doing with Dr. Laskow and Dr. Peter McGinnity, and we're working at UC Davis on studies of modifying the brainwave activity with the use of crystals. And that work has been going on now for about 8 months. And we're in the process of digesting a mountain of data that we have gotten. In a few months, I'll be able to give you a report over the year on what we've accomplished.
Oh, that's going to be fantastic. So we should hear now back from Dr. Peterson and Dr. Rose in a little bit.
Right.
About what happened there. She's all wired up to the encephalograph and all of that.
Right.
All right, and while we're waiting for that and catching our breath, I've still got this energy running up and down my back and all the way into the base of my neck.
I know. It's hitting you because I'm getting perspiring myself.
Well, it feels good.
Oh, it is. It's fun. It's what people spend hours and hours trying to do in yogic exercises, and you're getting it in a very nice way over the station.
Yeah, don't even have to go through all of that kundalini stuff.
No, you don't.
This comes right through. We're going to take a break a moment. I'm Bill Jenkins at Open Mind, and with me, Dr. Marcel Vogel and Dr. Peter Guy Manners. Pete, you there?
I'm right here.
Okay.
Sure.
Marcel?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we're ready for a report from Pete Peterson here.
Good. What does he have to say?
Well, Marcel, Dr. Rose felt the energies coming. She said they felt more like they were coming out of her body.
Right.
And we have the instrument on her. We have it going into a stereo recorder with her brain waves on one channel and the radio on the other channel.
Uh-huh.
What we will do is take this tape and run a spectral analysis of her brain waves. This is the only way we can really be definitive of things that occurred. When we run this spectral analysis, we'll be able to see very, very minute things that are not at all apparent in listening to the normal brainwave. We'll be able, for example, to pinpoint various locations in her body where things took place, where occurrences took place. And we have that keyed, of course, to the radio, so we'll know the exact time that these things occurred.
Would you send a copy then to Bill Jenkins and then to myself?
I certainly will.
And that way we could have it as a matter of record. And in the last, where I was looking at the alpha activity, I saw the peaks going up. and it's sharpening tremendously over the regular background that she had. And when I worked on the theta, I saw a slight increase, but not a very significant elevation.
Mm-hmm.
That was my impression at this end. Peter, do you have anything more to add to that?
I don't have anything more. Would you like me to put Dr. Rose on?
All right, Dr. Rose. Hello?
Marcel?
Yes, my dear.
Yes, you don't remember me. You don't know me as Dr. Rose.
Pardon me?
You don't know me as Dr. Rose.
No, you have a PhD now?
No, Heidi Rose.
Well, Heidi, hi. All right, my dear.
What
experience did you have when I projected to you?
Well, first of all, it was a tremendous heat.
Right.
That was the first thing. And it was as if it was coming down through the crown and out towards Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
Very powerful. When you went into the alpha state, it felt as if the chakras in the body themselves were vibrating at a higher oscillation.
Right.
And at that point, there were breaks in the field.
Uh-huh.
When you went into the theta state, it felt as if the first three or four cervicals in the neck gave way, and I could barely hold my head up.
You head falls over.
Yes.
And that happens when you go into the theta state, because you go into really an altered state of consciousness.
Yes. Very powerful, very light, and feeling very connected with Los Angeles at that point, but much more the energy going out than coming in.
Right, because there you can see, you release yourself, especially in the theta state, from the sense of time and space. So that is the experience of going out. Alpha, you don't do that, but when you go into theta, you feel you're suddenly totally expansive and can move in any dimension you want.
That's correct.
And when I do that myself, I draw my breath in, and I link to the left and the right part of my brain, so I become one-pointed and one-centered. People call it the third eye. You open between your eyebrows, and I see a point of light when it suddenly starts working.
Yes, in Ayurvedic medicine, we know that about every 6 to 10 seconds, you breathe through both nostrils at the same time.
That is right.
At that moment, the hemispheres are working as one.
In synchronization, but it's in the pranayama, a withholding of breath, that you build that vibration, and you do the linking through the withholding of breath.
Yes.
Then you do alternate nostril breathing.
Yes.
And I can do this now at will. Once I get the linking, every ingoing breath comes from one side of my body, and the outgoing breath goes out to the other side. And it is not very complicated, and it's very easy to do.
Well, it'll be certainly interesting now, Heidi, to see what the spectral analysis of the tape will show.
Yes, we'll run that through our instrumentation here at the ranch, and we'll get those copies out to you. And Bill, we'll be... great if you could give an intro to the seminar that we're also doing on the understanding of the electromagnetics that take place in medicine and in the human body tomorrow.
But, Bill, what you had tonight was a real solid experiment.
Yes.
Well,
mm-hmm.
And we had discussed it. Pete Peterson flew up. We had a group of scientists. And we were discussing this, and we laid the groundwork that we would do. Now we've done this with you and the audience, and I think more of this type of thing should be done and shared with the people instead of trying to hide it and work in secrecy.
Well, we don't work in secrecy on this show.
Not a bit, and that's why I enjoy being with you. Now, one of the last things I'd like to do is, would you like to do a bit of space traveling?
Of course. Naturally.
What time do we have?
We have 25 minutes of midnight.
So we're getting close to the magic hour.
Well, we do have this magic moment that I must do right now.
Which is, I know.
You know what it is. In fact, it's going to be talking about you, too. And let's take just a little break and then do a little space traveling with Dr. Marcel Vogel, Dr. Peter Guy Manners, Dr. Pete Peterson, and Dr. Heidi Rose. Correctly, Marcel, we're going to do a little space traveling here right now.
Would you like that?
I think it would be just fun. It would go along with next week's show. We're going to talk about the UFO. We're going to have a UFO roundtable with J. Allen Hynek and everybody.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Well, let's see what it means to do a bit of space travel.
Okay.
Your imagination knows no bounds, which means that you can close your eyes, draw your breath in, and be wherever you wish to be.
Hmm.
Now, what we are given, unfortunately, is that that's only your imagination. But what does that really mean? It means that we have, if we will, and we're not fearful, the capacity to be wherever we want to be. And we can be there and we can experience what is there in a more realistic way than if we had gone there with all of our physical body and facilities. It has been given to me that those minds and intelligences which are another planetary system are capable of communicating with us via telepathy, because it is a timeless, spaceless dimension. We need but think, move into that vibration, and we are there wherever we want to be. So what I'm going to do now is to do a bit of exploring the planetary system that we're going to go to. Are the Pleiades, the seven sisters.
We have a bunch of friends up there.
Yes, there are a grouping of planets, and the statements have been made that many of them have come here and visited this planetary body that we have. So let us reverse it. Instead of they coming here, let us now all go together and visit the Pleiades and see what that looks like. I'm holding a crystal in my hand. It's a six-sided, double-terminated clear crystal from Brazil. I've charged it. Now, all of you who are listening to me at this time, relax, take a deep breath. Now hold your breath. Become at one within your own body, and when you are ready, release your breath into the crystal that I am holding in my hand. Release, become one with it, breathe in, and out. Now I will beam a thought and feeling of well-being and love to all of you. Peace be to you. Now, mentally, let us join hands together in the crystal. Move to the tip of the crystal and go to the Pleiades with the outgoing breath. Pick one of the planetary bodies that are there. Observe the type of buildings that are present on this planet and the life forms, humanoid, plant-like, and vegetation. Communicate now with one or more of the people who are present there. Greet them and ask to see their space vehicle. Now let them take you into the vehicle and see what is the modus operandi of their means of propulsion and source of power. move out of the vehicle and see how they produce the power of lighting and the form of communication. Go into one of their homes, visit the home, and now it is time to come back, say goodbye, so we meet again. Draw your breath in, and come back into the crystal. Breathe in and out, and the episode is now done. I hope you had a very pleasant voyage and trip. Bill, are you there?
I'm here.
What experience?
They must have revoked my passport or something there, Marcel. I didn't go.
You never went out of into space, huh?
No.
Okay.
And nobody wants to worse than I do.
One of these days we meet each other in person, we can do it together.
All right.
I'd be happy to do it with you. Let's find out who has and what the experience.
Let's see if anyone did go. Let me give you those numbers again. 520-TALK. Space travelers out there, hello. Where did you go? You're on.
You talking to me?
I'm talking to you.
Oh, hi. I'm not sure where I went, but I thought I was with you, Wolverine.
Well, I didn't go anywhere.
I was with the gentleman who described what we should be doing.
What did you see?
I saw shapes and figures that I could see through, and the spaceship that they took me to, I could also see through. It all seemed to be very glass-like and clear, and everybody seemed very sweet and peaceful.
That is right.
And the strongest feeling I had was when you asked us to come back into the crystal. I felt an enormous surge of warmth throughout my whole body. And it feels very good. So I don't know if I really did travel, but my imagination was very vivid, and I felt I was with it.
All right, let's see if that locks up with the next caller. Thank you very much for sharing that with us, okay?
That was nice.
All right, now, what did you see? You're on.
Who, me?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Bill, it's Fran again. I didn't want to hog this, but Brad said there wasn't anyone else on.
Yeah, that's all right. Go ahead. We have a lot of the lines were full with other calls, but go ahead.
Well, I just like the other caller. Bree, my experience was one of sweetness, of welcoming. Because I don't know if I was on the right planet or not, but what I felt was like a humanoid.
That's right.
The very large eyes, bulging eyes.
That's right.
And the feeling of lightness. Now, when I went into the spaceship, I felt it was a large one.
Uh-huh.
I felt like there was like, I can't quite describe it. It's like a bar. Bars.
Right.
Two bars that they used. Uh-huh. It's almost like I'm using my hands, and I can't quite explain it. It's pushing forward and back type of thing, or up and down.
Okay, Fran, thank you very much. Now we'll check with someone else and see if they go along with you.
Okay.
All right?
Right.
Okay. Well.
What are you doing?
We don't know what we're doing. Let's try this one. How did you go on a space trip?
Hello?
You're on, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I did. This is Vincent, but I'll just ask about the... yes, I felt first that it was sort of like a distortion looking through the crystal, like a prism. And then I got the buildings were sort of pagoda-like, built on circular levels and went up. And the spaceship was... I could see these different colored lights blinking on and off in sequence inside the saucer, if you will. And they seem to be pulsating at a different frequency. And could Dr. Vogel give his address again so I might contact him?
Yes, 1725.
17, let me repeat that. Can you speak up a little bit, Marcel?
Yes, 1725 Little Orchard Street, Unit C, San Jose, California, 95125. I'd be very happy to correspond with anyone who would like to write in.
Okay.
Okay, Edson, does that help you?
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, thank you there. And so that's the way that's going. Right. We do have space travelers out there then.
Uh-huh.
What is the matter with Bill's imagination? I can't do any of those things. I can only smell things and taste things.
Well, Bill, we just have to work together a little bit more. Has it been fun?
It has been a lot of fun tonight.
I try to keep it in a little happy vein and have people experience the reality of these things, and it really does work.
You know, one of the things that I think is important that you brought up tonight, Marcel, is that there is very, very serious scientific experimentation and investigation into electromagnetic medicine in its own way.
That is true, and it's been going on for almost 80 years, starting with Dr. Abrams. I'd like to close with an acknowledgement to the pioneering work of Dr. Abrams, who was a medical doctor, a physician in San Francisco at the turn of the century, and he is the father of radionics, where he found that there were these type of vibrations that one could detect on the body and use that for diagnostic purposes. I have in my laboratory one of the original machines made and designed by Dr. Abrams in San Francisco. And the other person who is down in your area, that is Mrs. Ruth Brown. And she designed a machine for detecting these fields and photographing them like they did with the Delawares. The unfortunate thing was that our government went in and persecuted her, and she died a very saddened and person. In fact, she died prematurely from the attacks that were made on her for the type of diagnosis and observations that she made.
I know of a case here in Los Angeles. Marcel, I haven't had a chance to relate this to you, but a young man just almost destroyed his knee.
Right.
The surgeon said he had never seen such a messed up knee. It took about 3 hours of operation.
Uh-huh.
That was August 4th. He is now walking without the leg cast and occasionally uses the brace. He was supposed to be in the leg cast for about 6 months and the brace for a year after, and may not have complete use of his leg.
Right.
He is about 6 months to 9 months ahead of schedule.
Beautiful.
And that's been done with a photograph.
That's all that's needed.
Mm-hmm.
I'd appreciate if those who had gotten any benefit from their congestive nasal problems to write into me. And I'd like to keep a careful record and a follow-up of what has taken place.
All right. That's a very good idea. I'd like to hear from everyone who, as Marcel suggested, did feel some benefits to the nasal congestion and all of that, that experiment, that you bent spoons. And if you took a space trip, any of those things that we have done tonight, write Marcel or me, and I'll certainly get them up to Marcel if you want to.
What I will do now, I'll put this data into our newsletter and publish it. We have about 2,000... on our subscription list, and everybody then I'll share it with.
By the way, we want to mention that Pete Peterson and Heidi Rose, who helped in our experiment tonight, will be at a seminar tomorrow called Electromagnetics, the New Medicine, and Dr. Bob Beck will be along with Charles Whitehouse. That's at 1720 Ocean Park in Santa Monica, the Masonic Temple there, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. tomorrow. So you may want to get over and catch that. Marcel, it's been another fascinating evening.
No.
Thank you very, very much.
My pleasure. God bless all of you.
And hope to meet you in person soon.
I'll be on the 19th.
19th, you'll be here. And I'll join you then. Next week, we'll have a UFO forum. Find out some fascinating and dazzling things on the good old UFO. I'm Bill Jenkins. See you next week.
Happy celebration 25.